ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, entitled The Residents of Jambudvipa Offer Prayers. Verse number 36. Yasya Swarupam Kavayo Vipaschito. Guneshu Dharesh Shiva Jada Vedasam. मत्नंदी मत्ना मनसाद दृक्षवो गूढ़ं क्रिया गूढ़ं क्रियार्थं नमईरितात्मने यस्य स्वरूपं कवयो विपश्चितो गुणेषु दारुशिवजादवेदसं मध्नन्ति मध्ना मनसादि वृक्षवो गूढं क्रियार्थैर्नम ईर्यतात्मने यस्य स्वरूपं कवयो विपश्चितो गुणेषु दारुशिवजातवेदसं मध्नन्ति मध्ना मनसाद दृक्षवो गूढं क्रियार्थैर्नम ईरितात्मने Go to a translation. Yesya, whose? Swarupam, form. Kavayaha, the greatly learned sages. Vivaschitaha, expert in ascertaining the absolute truth. Guneshu, in the material manifestation, consisting of the three modes of nature. Darushu, inward. Iva, like. Jata, manifested. Vedasam, fire. Madhnanti, still. Madhna, with a piece of wood used for producing fire. Manasa, by the mind. Didrikshavaha, who are inquisitive. Gudham, hidden. Kriya arthaihi, by fruitive activities and their results. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Irita atmane, unto the Lord, who is manifested. Translation: by manipulating a fire-generating stick, great saints and sages can bring forth the fire lying dormant within wood. In the same way, O Lord, those expert in understanding the absolute truth try to see you in everything, even in their own bodies. Yet, you remain concealed. You are not to be understood by indirect process involving mental or physical activities, because you are self-manifested. Only when you see that a person is wholeheartedly engaged in searching for you do you reveal yourself. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport by His Divine Grace S. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The word kriyarthaihi means by performing ritualistic ceremonies to satisfy the demigods. The word vipachitaha is explained in the Taittiriya Upanishad as follows. Satyam jnanam anandam brahma yo veda dihitam guhayam parame vyoma so ashnude sarvan kaman saha brahmana vipachiteti. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavanmam Prabhadyate. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me. When one understands that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart and actually sees the Lord present everywhere, he has perfect knowledge. The word Jata Vedaha means the fire which is produced by rubbing wood. In Vedic times, learned sages could bring forth fire from wood. Jata Veda also indicates the fire in the stomach which digests everything we eat and which produces an appetite. The word Gudha is explained in Shveta Shvetara Upanishad. Eko Deva Sarva Bhudeshu Gudha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is understood by chanting Vedic mantras. Sarva Vyapi Sarva Bhudantara Atma. He is all pervading and he is within the heart of living entities. Karmadhyakshaha Sarva Bhuda Adhivasaha. He witnesses all activities of the living entity. Sakshat Cheta Kevalo Nirguna Scha. The Supreme Lord is witness as well as a living force, yet he is transcendental to all material qualities. Om Jnanatimiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchakalpadrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Bhutair Mahabhir Yaima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Sheshe Yatabhusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodasha Atmaka Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vachamsi Me. Hare Krishna. Here we are at the 36th verse of the 18th chapter where the residents of Jambudvip are continuing their prayers unto Supreme Lord in various forms. So in each Varsha there are respective residents and there are respective worshipable lordships. In this whole canto is speaking about Sthanam or the planetary system, the existence of different living entities within the planetary system, and there is a purpose behind presenting these planetary systems or the entire cosmos. It is not really to study the Vedic cosmology. Okay, it can be part of it, but that is not the real purpose. Bhagavatam is not really presenting the cosmology as it is. Rather, it is showing the length and breadth and the size of this entire universe and showing that the Supreme Lord is being worshipped everywhere. So please don't think that it is something that we are preaching and recommending and sharing here in this age of Kali, in this Bhukhanda. So we are only in Bhukhanda. We are just part of the Bhumandala. In Bhumandala there are 7 islands, Dvipas, and in the middle one is the Jambadvipa, and there are 9 Varshas. In the southernmost Varsha is our Bharata Varsha, and in this Bharata Varsha there is Bhukhanda. The Bhukhanda or Bharata Khanda, that's where we are situated. So we are only at a tiny portion of the cosmos, and don't feel ourselves to be isolated or alienated from the rest of the universe, and consider that we have nothing to do with worship of the Supreme Lord, or we are minority in terms of the devotees. That is not the case. We are not minority. We are actually majority. Even though in this particular scenario, it may look like we are minorities. How many people do know about Krishna or Vishnu? Not many. But as God, the Lord is more well aware. However, the point is, even by the name Vishnu and Krishna, He is well known throughout the universe. So this is establishing that fact, showing the entire universe, a glimpse of the entire universe. So that's why the sthanam is important. It shows us that the living entities everywhere are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His various forms. So here we have very interesting personality who is Bhudevi. Bhudevi is a great personality. She is carrying all of us. If you try to understand the personality of Bhudevi, you will be amazed. She is one of the principal potencies of the Supreme Lord in her constitutional position. So the Lord has multifarious potencies, and in which there are principal potencies, and Bhushakti is one of the principal potencies of the Supreme Lord. And indeed, she has very intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord. Not only in this form as Bhutevi and her connection to Varahadev, otherwise in her original position also, she is intimately connected to the Lord, being the consort of the Lord. So that Bhushakti is Satyabhama in Dwaraka pastime. It's the same Shakti, the eternal consort of the Lord. The same Shakti has manifested as Kubja again in Madhura pastime, right? As Krishna enters Madhura, we know the pastime of Kubja. So the same Bhushakti has taken the form of Kubja and enacted that pastime. If you go to Vishnu temples, especially in South India, if you go to Srirangam or if you go to Balaji temple, when you see Lord Vishnu with his consorts on the right and left sides, they are Sridevi and Bhudevi. So it is very common. Commonly Vishnu has been worshipped along with his consort Sridevi and Bhudevi. So the eternal consort of the Lord. So she is now reciting these prayers in Uttara Kuru Varsha, which is the northernmost region of Jambadvip. So she has such an intimate connection to the Lord, and she has expanded here and appearing in her personal form in Uttara Kuru Varsha, top of the Jambadvip. She also has existence in this material universe, in the layers of the universe, because this universe is like a shell, anda, right? So in the first layer of this entire universe is the layer of earth. First one is earth. Last one is the false ego. From here, if you come top, okay, false ego. From if you take this direction, first layer is that of the earth. So in the earthly layer, Bhudevi is sitting there and she is worshipping Varahadev. So she is not just inside, in the middle of the universe, in Bhumandala, in the middle of the, that is Jambudvip, and there in Uttarakurva Varsha she is worshipping Varahadev, but even in the universal layer, that is her position within this universe, there she is worshipping Varahadev. So this is witnessed by Gopakumar in his upward journey all the way to Goloka Vrindavan. So he saw Bhudevi sitting there and worshipping Varahadev. And there, earth is the repository of what quality, what tanmatra, or what sense object? Anyone know? Smell.
No. So,
yeah? What is it? Ultimately, in one sense, but primarily earth has smell. Earth has smell. So, when it comes to earth, the final manifestation, the special quality of earth is smell. Special quality, of course. Anything from the previous it can carry as it progresses, that's different. And the final product is earth. The grossest element is earth. So, the special quality is fragrance. And if one goes to the earth layer, one will be captivated by all different kinds of fragrances. It's not like going to a shop where all the fragrances are being sold, or you know, you go to all the scented oils. You go to Dham. You go to the shop for the Lord to buy all the scented oil where you smell all different things. So it is much, 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 infinitely more varieties of fragrances are present in earth. And that is the captivation of the earth layer. In one sense, if one gets caught up in this earth layer, one is primarily captivated by the sense of smell. It's very powerful. So there, of course, Bhumidevi is not interested in this opulence. It's her opulence. She's not interested in that so much. Rather, she's worshipping the Supreme Lord. And here we can see in the Uttara Kuru Varsha, Bhudevi is worshipping the Lord in the form of Varaha, because she has such an intimate connection to Varahadev. Because she was in great trouble. Being present in the Garbhodaka ocean, and Varahadev mercifully went all the way to the bottom, and with his tusk lifted her up and brought and placed her at the right orbit, at the right place. So this is done by Varahadev. So such an intimate connection. And that's why it's quite interesting to know that the Lord appeared first in the Shvetavaraha Kalpa. So Shvetavaraha Kalpa, the Kalpa in itself is known as Shvetavaraha. We can read in the beginning of third canto. First Kalpa that mentioned, Shvetavaraha Kalpa is mentioned, where the boar incarnation in the white form appeared, and then he brought the Lord back to the right place. So that is the Shvetavaraha. Why it happened? Because there was a partial inundation of the universe. The earth was submerged. Because of that inundation, the earth was out of place. So that is the first time Varahadev appeared in the white form. Then later, in the same chapter itself, we can hear about the Raktavaraha, who came in the reddish complexion. And so then that is the time he fought with Hiranyaksha and killed Hiranyaksha. So in that way, in the third canto of Bhagavatam, we can hear the account of both Varahadevs. So in either case, Bhumidevi is very much connected to Varahadev. So that brings to today's verse, where Bhumidevi is continuing her prayer to Varahadev. So first, it is mentioned where the Lord is situated, and how and what is the process by which one can understand the Lord. So in today's class, we will discuss further about where the Lord is placed and how to worship the Lord, or how to perceive the Lord. These are the two themes we are going to discuss. One is where the Lord is situated and how to perceive the Supreme Lord. And when we look into these two points, it's quite interesting. The first one, Srila Prabhupada comments in the purport that he is situated within the hearts of all living beings as the Paramatma, the Super Soul. So here, this I am reading, Prabhupada is quoting from Shvetashvetara Upanishad, where it is mentioned, Satyam Jnanam Anandam Brahma Yoveda Nihitam Guhayam Parame Vyoma So Shrude Sarvan Kaman Saha Brahmana Vibhaschiteti. So here is a definition of a Vibhaschit. Who is a Vibhaschit? A learned scholar who knows about the Supreme. He is a Vibhaschit, a Pandit. So in the beginning, itself Prabhupada writes, makes his point that the transcendental, eternal and absolute truth is Brahman. So this is the Sanskrit from the Taittiriya Upanishad. The transcendental, eternal and absolute truth is Brahman. He is situated within the heart of all living beings as Paramatma, the Super Soul. Okay, first point. He is within everyone's heart as Paramatma. And not only that, the Supreme Truth is residing in Vaikuntha as well, or Goloka Vrindavan. So we can hear from Brahma Samhita, Goloka Eva Nivasati Akhilatma Bhuta. So understand that he is there everywhere and in the heart of the living entities. And in addition, he is present in Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha. So he is present in both places. So this is where the Lord is situated. And there is a very strong connection between the previous verse and this verse. So here, Bhudevi is continuing her prayer, and in the previous verse, she is speaking about the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. Because now, Varahadev has appeared. It was quite some time back. But Varahadev is her worshipable Lord. By Upanishadic mantras, she wants to show that his form is not material. One shouldn't consider a Varaha, a bow, as, you know, a pig, as just ordinary and filthy. One shouldn't misconstrue his position. And that's where it is mentioned very clearly in the previous verse, his form is transcendental. And not only the form is transcendental, all the demigods are worshipping that form. Even all the sacrifices are situated in him. Even the ingredients of the sacrifice are situated in him. In that way, Bhumidevi is establishing the position of Varahadev so that no one should misunderstand his position. So that's why there are very interesting terms mentioned in the previous verse. Yajna kratave, yajna kratave, mahadhvara avyaya, avayavaya, mahadhvara avayavaya. So what is his form? It is his avayava, or the form, or the limbs. They are not normal, great sacrifices. His form is not normal. You are the sacrifice and you are the ritual. And also, therefore, all the ritualistic ceremonies of sacrifices are part of your transcendental body. So in that way, showing that all the living entities who are pious and all the demigods are worshipping this Varahadev, the Supreme Lord. So that is not material. He is the enjoyer of the sacrifice, as well as his form is composed of transcendental goodness. After presenting that, in the previous verse itself, Bhumidevi is giving a hint how to perceive the Supreme Lord. How to see the Supreme Lord? What is the process? What is the abhideya? That is given in the previous verse itself. What is that? Exactly. Mantra tattva lingaya. Mantra tattva linga. So one who can be perceived by mantras, chanting. Isn't it so relevant to our own life? If we want to perceive the Lord, it is through mantra. And it is through the Vedic scripture. In the Brahma, in the Brahma Sutras, the last sutra is Anavarti Shabdat. The last sutra of Brahma Sutra is Anavarti Shabdat. That is Anavarti, or one can get liberation or one can go to the spiritual world through Shabda, through sound. What is that sound? Transcendental sound. That is coming from Vedic literature. Chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So by that one can go to the spiritual world. One can perceive the Supreme Lord. So that's why here in this verse that point is mentioned very clearly. And before that, the verse is saying that the Lord is hidden. In the heart, He is hidden. If He is in the spiritual world, still He is hidden. And the process is given the great saints and sages, just like they turn the wood and produce fire. Usually the arani wood is used. And they turn the arani wood and from that fire comes and they use this fire to start the sacrifice. No matchbox, no lighter, no. Arani wood is used usually to produce the fire. Still now, some Vedic sacrifices when they perform, they still use the arani wood. And then they produce the fire. So that is a standard procedure. So I remember in Kerala there were few sacrifices took place. They were trying to do in the Vedic way, about a month long sacrifice. And the sacrificial arena was something like this temple room, means the kund, huge, huge sacrifice. They performed after a few decades. They did once, and after that, after a few decades, they did another one. Very elaborate arrangement. And for that, they used the arani wood to produce fire. It was the proper method to produce fire. And devotees went there. It was a good preaching opportunity for devotees. So our devotees went there. They had bookstall and prasadam stall. So we know what is the real sankirtan, what is the real yajna. We know that is not really going to work the way it should be. So devotees went and did the sankirtan yajna and distributed prasadam and distributed a lot of books, many, many copies of Bhagavad Gita. So it was very, very successful. So this is how devotees utilize the opportunity to preach Krishna consciousness. So here, Bhumidevi is speaking to Varahadev and explaining the process of perceiving the Lord, Varahadev. I remember when I was a young boy, maybe grade 5, 6, like that I was studying. Then I lived in a place, the place name was Sri Varaham. And there was a very ancient Lakshmi Varaha temple. So I used to go there pretty much every day. Very, very nice, beautiful form of Varahadev and Lakshmi Devi. Oh, very ancient temple. So, very interesting, you know, Varahadev is worshipped along with Lakshmi Devi throughout India. So this is in South India, in a remote part. But still, Lakshmi Devi is always worshipped with Varahadev, such an intimate connection to the Lord, because she is the eternal consort. And so, what she reveals is very potent. And she is telling how to perceive the Lord, so that we can read from this verse, how the Lord, who is Gudha, who is inconceivable, who is hidden in the heart of everyone, who is in the spiritual world, can be conceived. It is through chanting mantras. In this purport also this point is mentioned. And what else is mentioned here in this translation? It has to be through what process?
Not by indirect
process. What does that mean? Not by indirect process. Yes, then it should be by direct process. So not by indirect process means it has to be by the direct process. Then only one can understand the Lord. And what are the other qualifications? It has to be the direct process and also what else?
With bhakti.
With bhakti, yes, that is a direct process. But that has been qualified here.
Means, like, from the expert.
Hmm?
Well, it's a qualified from the, through the parampara, through the...
Yeah, but what is given here? What is in the translation? Okay, the key word is wholeheartedly in searching for the Lord. So it's a bhakti process, but we are talking about a complete bhakti process. It is not a mixed bhakti process, but the pure bhakti process. Then the Lord will be revealed. So that's why we will discuss this point further. Vishwacharya Thakur explains, it shouldn't be the mixed process. It shouldn't be the Mishra Bhakti. Rather, it has to be pure Bhakti. Then only the Lord will be revealed. We know the searching is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto, in the 9th chapter, in verse 36, where Brahma is explaining, or as he has heard, the Chatushloki, where Edavad eva jnyasyam tatva jnyasana atmanaha anvaya vyatirekabhyam yasya sarvatra sarvada. So there also the same point is mentioned. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. So there also the search is mentioned. Jnyasu, one who is searching. Here also the same point is mentioned. But here we will explain how it is mentioned. It is present in a very interesting way in this verse. Okay, so this is mentioned anvaya vedir ekabhyam. These are the two methods. One is anvaya. So here the anvaya is directly, and vedir ekabhyam is indirectly. The meaning is slightly different, as it's mentioned in the Chatushloki in the 2936. The reason is, there directly and indirectly one has to search means both are within the purview of bhakti. So directly one has to search by engaging in devotional service, and indirectly one has to search by avoiding things which are unfavorable to bhakti. So yama and niyama. So that is explained in 2936. So in that way one should search. So searching is performing bhakti positively and also avoiding unwanted things. In that way one has to perform bhakti. And this complete bhakti is mentioned again in Srimad Bhagavatam in 3911, third canto, where Brahma is praying for the creative energy before the creation. So there again this pure bhakti process is mentioned, and it's mentioned how the Lord manifests through this direct process. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavidah saroja aase shrutekshita padho nanunatha pumsam yad yad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tat tat vabhu pranayase sadanu grahaya. And this is a very interesting verse, because this verse is even quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this verse is talking about paribhavita bhakti. So that is his wholehearted search. And Prabhupada explains, Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita saroja. The Lord is manifested only through paribhavita bhakti, or the complete bhakti, pure bhakti. Otherwise, the Lord doesn't want to manifest. And if one does so, then it is mentioned, Ase shutekshita patho nanu nadha pumsam. Where hrit saroja, the Lord will manifest in the lotus of one's heart. Ase, he sits in the lotus of the pure devotee's heart. And then, what is this process? This process is Shruta Ikshita Patha. Shruta Ikshita. Shruta means here. Ikshita means seeing. So the path of seeing through hearing. So that is mentioned in the previous verse. What is that? Mantra? Mantra Tattva Lingaya. The Lord is Mantra Tattva Linga. So He can only be perceived through the sound. Anavrti Shabdat. Only through sound. There is no other way. Not material sound, transcendental sound. So it is mentioned in this verse also, 3911, it is mentioned Shrutekshita Patha. Very important. Prabhupada explains Shrutekshita Patha. The process of seeing through hearing, or process of perceiving through hearing the transcendental sound vibration. And because of that, yat yat dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti, in whichever transcendental form one is worshipping the Lord, Tattat Vabhu Pranayase. That form the Lord accepts. Or the Lord appears in that very form. Why? Sadanugrahaya. Because of His causeless mercy. So this is how the Supreme Lord manifests in the heart of the devotee or in front of the devotee. Can you tell me how this verse is relevant in Chaitanya Charitamrita? In which context, in which past time this verse is quoted? You can guess. Not very difficult. No. 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 You're all complicating. It's very simple. Very simple. And all of you know that reason I'm asking. Panchatattva. Very connected. Very much connected. But be specific. Exactly. Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya worshipped the Lord and called out for the Supreme Lord. Offering Tulsi leaves and Ganges water to his Salagram Shila. And his cry was so loud that it pierced through the shell of the universe. And the Lord, who is lying in the causal ocean, even he could hear. And the entire spiritual world could hear that he was forced to descend to this material world in the form of Lord Chaitanya. We can see this point even in the previous verse. That's another connection to the previous verse. That is, the Lord's name is mentioned in the previous verse as very nice name of the Lord. What is that? Everyone should know this name of the Lord. Triyuga. He is known as Triyuga because he doesn't come in this Kaliyuga directly. He comes only Channa. He comes only Channavata. That is Lord Chaitanya. So Triyuga is very, very interesting even in the pastime of Lord Chaitanya, because when Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri and only few people knew the identity of Lord Chaitanya. Sarvabhaumacharya, the great scholar, couldn't accept the supremacy of Lord Chaitanya. And he wanted to teach the commentary to Vedanta Sutra, Sharirika Bhashya, to Lord Chaitanya, because here we have a young sannyasi, just 24 years old. And so Sarvabhaumacharya was very much concerned. He is just dancing, chanting, etc. He looks like a sentimentalist and he hasn't properly studied Vedanta Sutra. So how can he fix his intelligence in Brahman, and that way how can he maintain sannyas order? So he felt, I should teach Vedanta Sutra commentary to Lord Chaitanya. However, Sarvabhaumacharya's brother-in-law, Gopinatha Acharya, was very upset. Why? He is the Supreme Lord. And you want to teach him Vedanta Sutra? Huh? Somebody has written a book and I will explain you to commentary of this book, I will explain to you. Does that make sense? Somebody has written a book and telling you, I will explain you to you this book. Who is Krishna? Vedesya sarver ahameva vedyo vedanta krut vedavit eva chaham. Vedanta krut, who wrote Vedanta? Vedanta was written by the Supreme Lord. And Bhashya, who wrote the Bhashya? That is Shankaracharya written the Bhashya. That is a Mayavadi commentary. And now Sarvabhaumacharya wants to teach this commentary to the Lord himself. Does that make any sense? So Gopinathacharya said, what are you trying to do? He is the Supreme Lord. Then he will not accept. He explained everything. All the logic, reason, everything explained. But no hope with Sarvabhaumacharya. He couldn't explain anything. And who said, even Sarvabhaumacharya, he quoted a verse and told, the Lord in person appears only in Triyuga. You can understand, even Sarvabhaumacharya was a learned scholar. He knew the Lord appears only in Triyuga. He told. So then Gopinathaji is told, yes, that is in the form of Leelavatar, not otherwise. As Yugavatar, he comes all the Yugas. Mahaprabhu Channa plus Yuga. So everything is there, different titles are there. So the Lord can appear as Yugavatar anytime. And now we are talking about Triyuga, that is in terms of Leelavatar. Because the Lord doesn't want to manifest all his Leela in the Kali Yuga. Because everyone will start their own Leela and they will claim, we are also God. Already without that itself, people, so many people are doing their own Leela and telling, we are also God. So problem, see, he knew. So he doesn't want to do. That's why Mahaprabhu, if someone calls him Vishnu, and wherever you, oh my Lord, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. You to, you know, close his ears and tell Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. Don't tell this. To set the example that no one should claim themselves to be the Lord. Even though only he was right. Everyone else was wrong. Only he was right. So that's why Mayavadis offered obeisances to Mahaprabhu. They got it right for the first time. Om Namo Narayanaya. That's how they address each other. First time they got it right. Why? Because they were paying obeisances to Mahaprabhu, who is Narayan himself. In that one time they got it right. So that was beneficial for them, for further advancement. So that's why in that pastime, Gopinath Acharya gives up. Finally he quotes a verse from Bhagavatam 10:14. He says, you know, even little bit of mercy is there. Prasada lesha anugrahita evahi. You know, lesha, you know, right? Little bit. Prasada lesha. Little bit of mercy is there. Janadi tattvam bhagavan mahimno. Nachani ekopi chiram vichinnuan. Again the same point. Searching. Vichinnuan means searching. Here also talking about searching. Chiram vichinnuan. One can search for the Supreme Lord eternally, but one cannot find the Supreme Lord. So Gopinath Acharya taught Sarvabhauta Acharya, you can study all this Vedanta Sutra, you can explain as many times as you want, but still you cannot understand the Supreme Lord unless and until you get a drop of mercy of the Supreme Lord. And of course, by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, he got the drop of mercy and then he could recognize Lord Chaitanya. And he was so much transformed that he didn't even want to recite this verse wherein the last line is Mukti Padesa Daya Bhak. He didn't want to chant Mukti Padesa Daya Bhak. He said, Mukti Padesa, I didn't want to. He said, Bhakti Padesa Daya Bhak. The Mahaprabhu said, no, you cannot change the verse from Bhagavatam. You know, don't speculate. You were speculating before, now don't speculate. Don't change verses from Bhagavatam. It is Mukti Padesa. The meaning of Mukti Padesa is even the Mukti is taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So please understand. So don't worry. There is no other connotation to this. In that way, Mahaprabhu gave mercy to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and he became a great devotee. So that's where this verse is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Advaita Acharya brought the Supreme Lord. Direct process, as it is mentioned in this verse. And moving further, Vishwajakata Thakur gives a very interesting commentary to this verse. And it is based on this line, Madhranti Madhna Manasad Drukshavaha. Madhranti Madhna. Madhranti means churns. Okay. Madhna. Madhna means the road. You might have seen, this is about the fire. We can say the arani wood. Arani wood is actually grinded and then the fire produces. Or we know other churning. Home, we might have done, I have done as a kid, churning the yogurt and getting butter out of it. Mother will give the pot and okay, now you produce, okay, nothing to do. So churn, churn, after some time butter comes, okay, give, here is the butter. So that is another kind of churning. But Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur, he talks about another kind of churning. And in the Bhagavatam verse also talks about another kind of churning. What is that churning? Madhyandi Madhna Manasad Drukshava. Churning with what? What are we churning? What do we have to churn to see Krishna? In relation to what we spoke so far. Heart. More specifically, the mind. Manasa. So, Manasa Madhna Madhranti. So, mind, which is like a churning rod, that has to be churned to see Krishna, to perceive Krishna. So, that is what is explained in this verse. And Chakravarti Pad interestingly, he explains the word Guneshu. Guneshu here, it is generally translated as material modes. Material modes. So, Daru, wood, which is made of matter. So, it is Guneshu, Darushu. But, he says that here, not this guna, not material guna, but the transcendental qualities of Krishna. So, if one attaches oneself's mind to Krishna, Krishna's name, form, qualities, etc., and if we think about Krishna, then the Lord will appear and the Lord will manifest. So, that is very interesting. Madhnanti madhna manasa dudrikshavaha. So, with manasa, that's like a madhna, that's like a churning rod, madhnanti, when churns, then the Lord appears. So, that becomes very relevant to our life, isn't it? How can we? So, the process is, what is the process? I explained, we will discuss the process by which one can perceive the Lord. It's a direct process of worshipping the Lord by churning the mind. So, it's not by speculation, by the direct process. That is chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is studying Shastra. That is the process of thinking, churning the mind, how to spread Krishna consciousness. So, this is churning the mind in service of Krishna. Planning for services for Krishna, that is churning the mind. That is madhyanti manasa. That is the process. Madhyanti manasa. One should churn the mind in service of Krishna. That is the best use of the mind. Like, there is a businessman. Businessman is always thinking about how to make money. I had a friend. I was a bit surprised. Because I was in the university, and this Chinese boy, my friend, he was coming with so many ideas, you know, that you can do this, you can do that. One day I asked, you know, come on, you know, how are you, you know, coming with so many ideas, all about money? He said, look, I can tell you, all the time I am thinking about one thing, how to make money and how to become rich. All the time. And he was, you know, we had research project, so we had to make something. So he was always thinking about how to make money out of it. That was his thought. So, we were in technical side, so money is not a major issue. But it's not a business plan as such. But he was coming with how to make money of everything. So, I understood, Malaysian Chinese. So, I understood, okay, he's always thinking about making money. So, similarly, a devotee has to think about Krishna in different ways. How to preach, how to connect our life to Krishna, etc. So, that's where it's mentioned in the purport and in the translation that those expert in understanding the Absolute Truth try to see you in everything. They try to see you in everything. That is the Chatushloki 2936. Sarvatra, Sarvada. Sarvatra, everywhere, all the time. Time and space. So that is the life of a devotee. And for that, we had to prepare ourselves. So, for that, we need purification of the intelligence. If you want the mind to be controlled, if you want to use the mind in service of Krishna, mind in itself will not work. Mind is the last one to become devotee. Don't expect mind will become devotee. Don't think like that initially. If we try to follow the mind, we can become devotees, but mind will not become devotees. So we need to make our intelligence purified by the help of Shastra, by good instructions. If you sharpen our intelligence, purify our intelligence, with that we can control the mind. If we ask how to purify ourselves, mind don't think it is going to purify. Mind is not going to become a devotee. Mind is rascal number one. Always. We cannot do much. Even after 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, mind can still come up with bad plans. That's why even if we hear the words from Yamunacharya, what is he saying? Yes. He is tasting different taste of Krishna's lotus feet, nava nava rasa, newer and newer taste. But then, when the bad thoughts come, nari sangama, association with woman, he is spitting at that thought. But the point to recognize that he is already a purified devotee, still such kind of thoughts can come. He is not attached to that thought, he has no taste for that. But still, the thought can come. So that's why in the commentaries of, I think, Baladeva Vidyabhushan or Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, of that section of Bhagavad Gita, the Siddha Prajna section of Bhagavad Gita, 53 to 72, second chapter, it is mentioned these qualities are not of a Siddha devotee, in the sense not a Nitya Siddha devotee. Rather, this qualification is of a person who is Sadhana Siddha, who is perfected by Sadhana, like a Jivan Mukta, or living here. Due to Sadhana, he is perfected. And that's why even such a person's mind, such kind of negative thoughts can come. But they are not affected by that, but that can come. That is the point. And that's where, if we think mind will get purified, don't worry. It's not immediately, it will take time. But first, we have to use our intelligence to navigate our mind through the right path. Very important. That's why mind is coming. You know, the Bollywood song we heard, all in playing in the mind, and we had to cut it. It's coming, it's not coming out of the mouth, that's all. Mind, it is running. We had to, okay, don't do it, okay, at least don't sing. And hear some kirtan. Some people, devotees used to say, you know, really, I want to hear. One boy used to tell me, you know, Prabhu, I want to hear some Malayalam jokes, comedies. From Kerala, I was telling, you know, Malayalam, some jokes, comedies, and songs. I really want to hear. Prabhu, I can chant 16 rounds, no problem, but some songs. Give me some leniency. Some songs, some jokes, you know, that is my entertainment. At least I want that. So this is Maya. So we have to control by intelligence. Ask him, hear kirtan. So initially the complaint was, I'm not getting the same effect. So keep hearing, effect will come. So like that. That is the process. And so I will introduce another topic. So in the life of a devotee, the smaranam or remembrance of Krishna is a gradual process, and as we move on sincerely and seriously in our devotional service, we can go through different stages of mananam, thinking about Krishna. So that is an important aspect of devotee's life, and it is connected to everything else in our devotional service. It's not an independent thing. It is connected to everyone, everything else in devotional service. In other words, depending on the stage of our smaranam or remembrance of Krishna, depending on that, we can see that where we are standing in our devotional service. Okay, so it is a well-connected process. In other words, the stage of the mind or the state of the mind can tell us where we are at in our devotional process. So we can hear this same point in Nectar of Instruction in the verse 8, where Srila Prabhupada quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and elsewhere in the purports also we can hear this. The process, the first stage is Shravana Dasha, or we can say the first stage is Smarana. So when we talk about Smarana, we are talking about short and intermittent recollection of Krishna. At least we had to come to this platform. Short but intermittent recollection of Krishna. Sometimes we are thinking about Krishna, which is good. That is the beginning of bhakti. At least sometimes we had to think about Krishna. Okay, we are coming in front of the Lord, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Bhagavatam, think about Krishna. Or outside, at least sometimes think about Krishna. That is the beginning of bhakti. That is definitely in the stage of samsraddha. One is a kanishta, one is a beginner devotee, and then one should be at least able to think about Krishna intermittently. Not all the time, at least intermittently. And that time, one is very much affected by tamogun. Lot of ignorance is there, but that's okay. Still, one should continue that process. So of course, in this stage, what is the kind of chanting? Prabhu, I am chanting 16 rounds. Sometimes I hear what I am chanting. Right? This is called the stage. Smarana, the initial stage of hearing is like that. This is the Shravana Dasha, where initially one is able to hear sometimes chanting. Chanting is happening, but sometimes we hear. And there are a lot of offenses that are being committed. Namaparath. Many kinds of offenses are committed, and sometimes we hear what we are chanting. So offenses can be because of, so we have to correct ourselves to avoid Namaparath and avoid offenses to devotees by sadhaja, at least by proper etiquette. Proper etiquette is guiding us, guideline. Okay, you feel like shouting at someone, but control yourself. That is sadhaja. I feel like all the bad things are coming, but a break, a bell and break for everything. So that is using everything using intelligence. Okay, it's not coming from the heart. It doesn't matter. Come from the intelligence and follow things properly. Try to chant attentively. Don't commit offenses to the devotees. And if one continues, then from smarana can actually lead to the next stage, which is dharana. So dharana stage is important, because in dharana stage, it's not that sometime I can hear the holy name while chanting, but predominantly I can hear, or at least more than, you know, like 5%, you know, not like that. A decent percentage we are able to hear what we are chanting. So there is attentive chanting, and one is trying to avoid offenses as much as one can. So this is very important. And in this stage, one has proper association with the devotees, and there is a bhajana kriya which is not steady. It's not that one can hear all the rounds one is chanting, but at least one is able to hear most of. Still, it is one is in Kanishta stage, but one can hear more than once in a while we hear one Hare Krishna mantra as we are chanting. So this is also Kanishta, but one is not fully in Tamogun. Some tinges of sattva is also there. Some passion is there, rajas is there, and tamas is also there. But some sattva is also there. So that is a step forward in bhakti. And from there, we have to come to the stage of dhyana. Dhyana means one is able to hear and meditate on the Lord for a longer period of time and continuously. So first is smarana, second is dharana, and third is dhyana. So we have to come to the stage of dhyana, because to come to the dhyana stage, first we have to attentively chant, avoid the offenses, and then one can come to the stage of dhyana, because then the chanting becomes more potent. It becomes very, very effective. So that's why it's mentioned. One can come to the madhyama stage, means coming to this stage of chanting where there is dhyana, or one is able to hear continuously and the heart is absorbed in chanting. That is mentioned in this verse, that wholeheartedly engaged in devotional service. So not just hearing, wholeheartedly. We know, even in our chanting, when we start chanting, one has that wholeheartedly chanting can come once in a while. That is the beginning. Then it can become more prominent, and as time progresses, then it can become the one's second nature. The heart is quite connected to Krishna while chanting Krishna's names. In that way, one can perform devotional service, bhakti, with whole heart, which is actually going to give us the result. So don't think that we can avoid any of the stages. So here, Bhumi Devi is giving us the process, wholeheartedly performing bhakti. It's applicable to services as well, and sadhana, both. It's applicable to both. Then we see the result. If you perform any service wholeheartedly, immediately we can find the result. So it's not only in chanting, not only in sadhana, but service also we can see that result. So this is the gradual progression in meditation on Krishna. So that is part and parcel of a devotee's life. So in conclusion, we discussed about the purpose of this canto sthanam, to show that the Lord is being glorified throughout the universe. And we also discussed about Bhudevi in her different features, in different places, her eternal position, and her intimate connection to the Supreme Lord and Varahadev, and also where the Lord is situated, in the heart of the living entities, everywhere and in the spiritual world, and how to perceive the Lord. And that is interestingly presented here as Madhyandi Madhna Manasa Dirkshavaha, by churning the mind in Krishna's service. So with that, I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Hare Krishna. Yes, ma'am. Is there a, we have a microphone or? Yeah.
Trying to understand the past tense in relation to this past tense. There is the general concept of the Lord, but then she takes the form of what I go to permanent moment, and then in another past tense, tomorrow it has to shoot. And so we're talking about the eternal concept of the Lord. So.
It is a Hamsha. She is the eternal consort, Bhushakti. She has various forms. Her Amsha is Madarat. Amsha. So from there, she can accept many forms. She is very powerful actually. You know, she is carrying all of us. And her another name is Vasu, Vasudha, Vasundhara, Bhumi. Vasundhara, she is known as Vasudha or Vasundhara because she carries all the wealth, all the minerals, all the wealth. It is her property. So that's why she is known as Vasudha or Vasundhara. And that's the reason Pradhu Maharaj wanted to get the wealth from the earth. Earth was not producing anything. So there are different forms she can accept. Yes, Mother. You can speak. It doesn't work. Okay.
I was trying to relate to the topic you mentioned about searching for the Lord for wholeheartedly. We found a big situation when it took 4 times people who are approaching the Lord. And eventually they became qualified, which means that they are spiritual. But those are authorized for authorized ways to approach the Lord. And how we can relate to that wholeheartedly searching for the Lord?
Now, here, wholeheartedly means pure devotional service. So, the four people, the four people who surrenders to the Supreme Lord, they are Artho Jnyasura Arthartik Jnani Cha Bharadashapa, 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So, of which Artha is the first one, lowest one, Artha. Artha is distressed. Then is Artharthi, who is after money. So these are two are considered lower category. Higher than these two is Jnyasu, specifically who is searching, inquisitive. So that inquisitive and this searching is different. Okay, that is different. So that inquisitiveness is literal meaning of inquisitiveness. What these people are doing? What did Lord do when he appeared? All those kind of questions. The sages of Naimisharanya. And then Jnanis, who do not have any material desires, who wants to know the absolute truth. So they are the highest of this category. Now, these four categories are considered Mahatmas. They are Udara. Udara Sarvayaveti. They are all Udaras. They are great personalities. They are magnanimous. So even though the reason for approaching the Lord is not necessarily love for the Supreme Lord, still they are considered as Udara or magnanimous. In that way, they can also be classified as searching wholeheartedly when they go past the stage of Kanishta. The initial approach is Kanishta. That is okay. So the initial stage, they may not be wholeheartedly. It may not be complete. It's not out of love. But if they approach, they are going to be Prema Bhaktas. They are going to be pure devotees. So then it becomes wholeheartedly. So it is not a black and white thing, but it's a gradual development. And that's why Krishna says, they are also Udara. They are also great because they are approaching me. And the example given are also very significant in here because Artha, Gajendra. Gajendra in his prayer in itself, you can see the transformation. He approached. First prayer was to help him, to get for his life he was praying. But as he go on with the prayer, prayer also increases in depth. He is not just telling, you know, just give me life. He's coming to the purified stage. So we can see that even though initially Artha, they are getting purified. In other words, they can hear the wholeheartedly and directly more importantly, it's not just wholeheartedly, it's directly. That's the more important stress is given here. Directly, wholeheartedly means actually pure bhakti. So initially, it may not consider it's actually pure bhakti. That's another point. Even Gajendra is also in one sense a pure bhakti, to start with. Then it's actually being mature, that's all. Because if even a pure devotee can approach the Lord for life, still it is considered pure devotion. If somebody is under attacking, you can consider it still pure devotional service. That's why it's mentioned, Anya Blashita Shunyam, not Anya Blasha Shunyam. So one can approach the Lord for life also, but initially there was traces of being Kanishta. But even Kanishta can also practice Uttama Bhakti. Uttama Bhakti is not restricted to Mahabhava. Uttama Bhakti can be performed by Kanishta also. So here, Gajendra is approaching the Lord in that way and then getting purified.
Can we understand that wholeheartedly is according to the level of consciousness and according to the interest, because it means the intensity of the emotions that include when they perform the activity. But that is also, in one sense, defined at the level of consciousness, because when we talk about, you mentioned the case of Rajendra, the intensity was quite considered. It was wholehearted, but it was itself preservation. It was in pure love. But the same thing we can explain of.
What is that? He was in pure love, you're saying? Or?
Yeah, pure love. He was in pure love.
No, in the beginning, no.
But it was self preservation.
It was, yeah. Yes.
And the same, for example, we can see the approach that he has. Some devotees that they want to glorify the God, and we describe it in the type of consciousness. All are in the realm of bhakti, quite inclusive, because what many type of devotees.
Yeah. The point is, yes, bhakti is very broad. Bhakti is broad, so everything is, bhakti is certainly inclusive. At the same time, here what is mentioned, not our standard, but what is mentioned here is direct process. So here what is mentioned is pure bhakti, that's all. Because the Lord will appear only in the pure, when one is purified.
What do you mean with direct bhakti? Because bhakti has different levels and all are direct, but the consciousness goes.
Karma yoga, Jnana yoga, Bhakti yoga itself, or is Bhakti? Is direct process? No, Karma yoga, Jnana yoga, it's not Bhakti.
Karma yoga is
Karma yoga
in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, if it is in Krishna consciousness, then it is considered Bhakti.
Is direct process?
If it is, but Karma Yoga can have the objective of Brahman also as the objective. So,
it's not pure.
Yeah.
But it's
no, it's not bhakti. No, it's not considered as bhakti. If one is performing Karma Yoga with Brahman as objective, it's not considered bhakti.
When Krishna described different ways to approach to the king, if you are not able to
do
this, you can do this, you can do this.
Yeah. Yeah, but not everything is considered as bhakti, that's the point. No, it's not even bhakti. For example, in the 12th chapter, when Krishna gives the gradation, the final one is you do some charity for any good cause, material cause, he's telling. At least develop the habit of at least giving away, then finally you can give to the Supreme. You understand? So it's not necessarily, it's not bhakti. No, that is different. That's not is given there. Of course you can do that, but that's not what is in the gradation given. That's what I'm saying. That's not bhakti. The last stage is not bhakti. And Jnana Yoga is not bhakti. Ashtanga Yoga is not bhakti. They are step towards bhakti, but they are not bhakti in itself.
Yeah, and when we talk Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga, or Karma Yoga, but it's
yes. No, that's the reason. That's exactly, that's the point. So objective is very important. if we have to define bhakti, that's why Vishwanatha Thakur, they very elaborately discuss these kind of points, showing that there can be, bhakti has to be there everywhere. If karma yoga has to become successful, bhakti has to be there. Jnana has to become successful, bhakti has to be there. Ashtanga yoga to become successful, bhakti has to be there. But that is not classified as bhakti. Rather, it is considered bhakti mishra jnana. Bhakti mishra ashtanga. Understand? Bhakti mishra karma. So, there, bhakti is only taking a subordinate role, very minimal role. So, that yoga with that intention, not the objective as Krishna, of course, because they don't know about Krishna, or they don't have objective as Krishna, then it is not defined as bhakti. So in that way, bhakti, in the broad umbrella as bhakti, it's not bhakti. It is not even mishra bhakti. You understand? It's not even mishra bhakti. Say, somebody is performing bhakti, there are some material desires. We can say it is karma mishra bhakti. Fine. But it is the opposite. If somebody is doing karma yoga, maybe understanding of Brahman or some absolute, no clear understanding of Krishna, one is doing, giving away for that absolute, no proper understanding. And maybe one is chanting some names of Krishna as well, even in Jnana, because some Vedic mantras, Krishna's name is there. So in that way, bhakti is present. So that is not Jnana Mishra Bhakti. That is Bhakti Mishra Jnana. So Vishnu will make it very clear. That is Bhakti Mishra Jnana. That is not considered as bhakti. Because that cannot give Krishna. So here, this verse is talking about what can give Krishna. Of course, our level we can explain. That's why I explained our progressive stage from Kanishtha to how to make progress. That is different. That's our stage. But what can give Krishna, that is only pure devotional service on the highest level. That can only give Krishna. That's what is mentioned specifically in this verse.
Yeah, another thing I wanted to ask is related to how we can understand Krishna is manifested. Because the idea is mentioned, and also previously Krishna is already in the heart of the entities. But what I mean when it said Krishna became manifested?
Krishna become manifest. So we can easily understand what is meant by Krishna become manifest, because in the heart already Krishna is there. For the time being, forget about inside Krishna. Think about outside Krishna. So then we know what is Krishna become manifest. Okay, the Lord, we can see the Shyamasundara form of Krishna. We can see the deity form of Krishna. And also if we are seeing the deity, we can actually see Krishna. That is externally manifesting the Krishna's form. Similarly, the Lord is there within. But we don't even recognize, we don't even realize. But manifestation of the Lord inside means how much that Lord is perceivable to the Atma. So it's not so much with the Lord. Yes, we can see it is with the Lord, because the Lord is revealing himself to that devotee within the heart. So it's about revelation of the Lord. Manifestation means there is revelation.
If
our
Bhagavad Gita says
that Krishna
is always observing,
Of course, that is exactly right. Because that the Paramatma is not interested, he is interested, but he is not acting because there is no service. Yes, definitely. That is the role of Paramatma, and that is the role of the Lord. When Paramatma manifests, means yes, of course, there is a reciprocation. The Lord is reciprocating all the time, but in a different way, that's all.
The last one is, I got a bit confused when you said that we need to reach the last level of the description of the chanting. You said it was first is Smarana, and then you said it's
Dharana.
And the last one is.
It's not last one, I just explained that far. Dhyana. Now, I didn't explain further. I just explained something which is relatable to us. That's why I left it there. That's not the end.
The thing that personally got a bit confused is when you said only if we reach the
Dhyana.
We can reach to can be Manyama.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So that's a little bit difficult for me to understand because you said it's constant remembrance. Constantly hearing the chanting.
Yeah.
So only in that way we can be listening.
Look, Madhyama is a very broad category. So this is the other end of the spectrum of Madhyama. So Madhyama is not a, you know, just one thing. Madhyama is like a band, okay? So we usually enter the Madhyama stage, but one can be a Kanishta Madhyama, you know, in the beginning stage of Madhyama. So what is explained is one is going to the stage of Madhyama, which is the highest stage of Madhyama, where it's on the stage of Ruchi. You understand, where Ruchi Asakti. So there, pretty much Ruchi, it's not actually Asakti, it's the Ruchi stage. That is on a very higher end of being a Madhyama. Even Asakti is also considered in the stage, in different classifications. Could consider, it's actually Ruchi Asakti is the beginning of Uttama also, we can say. Yeah, it's the beginning of Uttama actually, in that classification. So, it's a broad spectrum, so in that level, I can say. So it's the beginning of Madhyama, there is more remembrance, in essence. And in the advanced stage of Madhyama, so that is almost getting to the stage of Uttama, okay? So that's where it's a more constant remembrance. So that is Ruchi, pretty much. That is what is explained.
Also yeah. At
that
stage, the chanting has
some
power.
Yes, at this stage, the power is more of chanting, yes. The reason is, the chanting is pure chanting. So, as it gets purer, it becomes more potent. Holy name has power all the time, no problem. But how we apply, we get more power. So, if one chant the same holy name with lot of offense, less power. Lesser offense, more power. And intermittent remembrance, some power, bit more remembrance, more power, and we hear all the time, most, and we invest the heart in the holy name, little bit investment, same in return, in that way. So it becomes more powerful as we go, and that's what it is mentioned. Only Shuddhanam in sadhana stage can actually give pure bhakti. Shuddhanam in the sadhana stage. What is Shuddhanam in the sadhana stage? Not committing offenses. That is to a great degree in our control. So it can be even material desires. Desires can come as a thought, but we are not actually buying into it. We are telling, okay, I have this, but I don't want it. If we have that mentality, we are approaching that standard. You know, okay, I have the material desire, it's coming to me, but I will not act on it. And I am praying to Krishna, please remove this. I really don't want that. Please don't need it. That's actually good in that way. And attentively hearing the holy name. And then that is actually, and understanding who is Krishna, etc. So the Sambhada Jnana is there, and with Sambhada Jnana, understanding attentively without committing offenses, that is Shuddhanam in the sadhana stage. That devotees can actually aspire to get there. That is very potent. So that is potent. So this potent chanting is not really very far away. It's not very far away. It's here, it's right. Even a Kanishta in the beginning of Madhyama can also practice, but then one will make further advancement fast. So that's what is mentioned here. Make sense?
And also the experience of that stage is permanent, it's not just intermittent.
Which one?
The intermittent, is this?
Yes. Yeah, it is, yeah.
It's constant.
It's constant, yeah. Yes. Which is on a higher stage of Madhyama, of course. It's not on a lower stage, yeah.
That it can include
Raya, yes, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that is, if one is on Ruchi, then one can. After Nishta or later stage of Nishta.
And still remain in Sadhana Bhakti as well.
Yes, still in Sadhana Bhakti, of course it is Sadhana. Yeah. Because that is a different league. If you had to leave Sadhana, that is a different league altogether, which is very, very high. Sudurlabha, very difficult to obtain. Hare Krishna. गणराशि में भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय